Crumb.
Welcome back, everybody, to an exciting episode of the Savage Most Fearsome Chromecast. I'm Luke.
I'm Josh.
And I am Jonathan.
And we are joined here tonight with a very special guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself, very special guest.
Well, I am the one and only Indiana Bill Cavalier. I live in Michigan City, Indiana. I've been a Robert E. Howard fan since 1966. When I first discovered Robert E. Howard on the paperback shelves of the Wilco Food Store in Gary, Indiana, where I was born. I was perusing the paperback stacks, looking for, in the early 60s, there was a lot of Edgar Rice Burroughs books that came out, Tarzan, and pretty much all of his work came out. And so I was looking for another Burroughs edition. When I spied a book on the shelf, and there was this muscular, really rough-looking badass guy who was standing on a pile of bodies. There was a naked woman hanging onto his leg, and he was pushing a sword down into that pile of bodies. And it said Conan the Adventurer, and I wondered, what the heck is this all about? So I was still buying comics then. Comics were 12 cents, I believe, at the time. And this paperback was 60 cents. And I realized that I would have to sacrifice 5 comics to buy this paperback. So I looked it over, and on the front of it, it says something about swashbuckling adventure. And you turn it over, and on the back it says that Conan is a hero mightier than Tarzan. Well, Tarzan was my guy, and I realized that there was no hero mightier than Tarzan. Yeah, that was all a bunch of baloney. But so I turned it over again. I looked at the cover, and the cover was just magnificent. You know, the iconic Conan painting of all time. I opened up to the first page, and it said, "Some people have compared Robert E. Howard to Edgar Rice Burroughs." I went, "Oh, okay, I'll give that a try." And so took it home, and the first story inside was People of the Black Circle. And after that, I left Tarzan in the dust, and I became a huge Conan fan.
Nice, man. And I guess I would... I would think that paperback probably got a whole lot of mileage, right? Like, you could reread that thing versus, you know, like, the 4 or 5
it
comics.
Did.
Yeah,
and if I'm not mistaken, I still have the original. I don't know if it's the original or not, because it got put away after a little while, and when I finally got them back, I don't know if that's the original one, but it's a book that, well, it changed my life. It really did, because I was guest of honor at Howard Days in 2018, and pretty much my talk was talking about how Robert E. Howard saved my life. And it was because of my association with Robert E. Howard that I gathered up several really, really good friends, you know, that I've been friends for over 30 years. And I went through a rough patch in 1987, and boy, they really helped me out just by being my pals. And it was very important as far as, you know, to making me better. And, of course, the reason I knew these people was because of Robert E. Howard. So, yeah, Robert E. Howard kind of saved my life, and I kind of took it from there. And Rogue Blades Entertainment is doing a book this year that's going to be coming out at Howard Days. It's How Robert E. Howard Changed My Life. And they've got a number of notable authors that are that are putting essays into this book about how a Howard character or how Howard himself actually changed their lives. And Jason Waltz, the guy at Royal Blades, he gave me credit for germinating that idea in his brain because he heard my speech in 2018, and so I was pretty honored about that. So my one of my essays about Howard, how Howard saved my life, is going to be in the book too. So
man,
that's pretty cool. So that's kind of my one of my claims to fame in Howard fandom, and of course my biggest claim to fame in Howard fandom is exactly that, is Howard fandom. I'm one of the guys that I like to keep everybody together, and I'm one of the organizers of Howard Days now. I've been doing that for the last 12 years or so.
Nice. Yeah. So on that front, whenever you gave your guest of honor speech, that was the last Howard Days that we were in attendance for, and it was really cool to sort of see you talk about like the fandom as like a positive force in your life. And so that kind of brings up maybe like the central focus of why we're talking about you here, is to say like Howard Days as a thing and fandom as a whole. And maybe we can, we're moving towards a season about Howard and his Western writing. So maybe we can sort of get to the tail end of that. But maybe the way to start this off is to say, Indy, you're a driving force within the Howard Days scene. Like, what can you tell us as far as what's in stock for Howard Days 2020?
Well, you want me to talk about just what's going on this year?
Yeah. Like, I mean, maybe the way, like, people presumably, if this is their first Chromecast, I guess we would encourage them to go back. Like, we have a back catalog of material. Like, we've talked about Howard Days and our experiences there a couple times over. We tend to go on an every other year kind of pattern. But maybe just give a quick summary of like the dates that Howard Days is happening in 2020. Sure. And kind of like what's in store and what people can expect if they attend, and just like whatever you're willing to share and sort of put out on the air. Like, we want to promote it.
Sure. Well, this year in 2020, Rowdy Howard Days is going to happen on Friday and Saturday, June 12th and 13th, in Cross Plains, Texas, at the Robert E. Howard Museum. Yes, it's a real museum, and we go there for to share our experiences with Robert E. Howard. It's anymore, Howard Days is like a big old family reunion where all the members of your family gather together because they appreciate the works of Robert E. Howard. And this year, we are going to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of Robert E. Howard in the comic books, in comics. In 1970, Roy Thomas and Barry Windsor Smith put out the Conan the Barbarian comic, Conan the Barbarian number one. And it pretty much took off quite well, and it helped turn Conan into a pop culture icon. Arnold and the movies came 12 years later. So really, the Conan the Barbaric comic from Marvel, it was a big force in making Conan the iconic character that he is. Conan is as well known anymore as Tarzan or Sherlock Holmes or James Bond or any of the comic book characters, of course. And we like to get together every year at Howard Days and celebrate that. So let's see. The I told you it was the 12th and the 13th this year.
Yep.
Our guest of honor, of course, is Roy Thomas, the guy who actually created that first Conan comic. And it's kind of a big deal this year, so we're looking forward to seeing Roy, and he's going to be sitting in on panels and doing signings, and we're really glad to have him, and we're really glad that he's going to be coming down to Cross Plains.
So beyond Roy Thomas, like, what are some of the other things that folks tend to get into when they're doing the Howard Days trip?
Well, with Howard Days, of course, we've got you get to tour the Robert E. Howard House. Everything there. The good part about this is everything is free of charge. There's no charge to come to Howard Days. The only charge would be if you want to have a seat at the banquet on Friday night. That's $15. But other than that, there's absolutely no charge. You can come in and tour the Robert E. Howard House. You can actually see the exact spot where Howard created all of his stories. And you can walk the grounds and you can see everything that Howard saw. Of course, it's changed, but you can walk in his steps, walk around town. The town almost hasn't changed a whole lot since Howard lived there. It's a quaint little town of almost 1,000 people, smack dab in the middle of nowhere, Texas. But it's a mecca for Robert E. Howard fans. So, you know, that's where they go to appreciate Howard and be amongst like-minded people. And we have tours of the Howard House. We present between 7 and 8 panels over the 2 days. They have a special souvenir postal cancellation, which is pretty cool. Just for the Howard Days, that's kind of a neat little souvenir. You can go to the Cross Plains Public Library and view the real typescripts that Howard worked on. They actually show the real McCoy is right there. They have a nice Howard collection there as well. Mm-hmm. And everybody in town is they either love us or they ignore us. So
I guess
That's totally fine, you know, because the people that are glad to see us, they're really glad to see us. You know, we come into town and we really help out the economy over 3 or 4 days. We're glad to do it. They're just such lovely people. I haven't met anybody in Cross Plains that I don't like. So
it's such a fun time. Hanging out next to Robert E. Howard's house, the museum. At the pavilion with like-minded Howard fans, shooting the breeze about your favorite character, your favorite story. But my favorite thing that happens at Robert E. Howard Days is the poetry reading on the porch.
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, we developed that a few years ago. We had started reading Howard's poetry in the backyard, right outside his window, and then we decided to move it to move it around to the front porch. So we were reading Robert E. Howard poetry right on his front porch, you know, 10 feet from where he wrote it, a lot of it. And a few years ago, we came up with the idea. I wish I could say that this was totally my idea, but I was only partially. Aurelia Bryant from, she's in New Mexico. Well, she's a big fan of Howard poetry. Mm-hmm. And Barbara Barrett, too, a big fan of Howard poetry. We all kind of talked about, you know, reading some of Howard's poetry. And somebody, and I honestly don't know who it is, said, you know, I could translate that I think Patrice Lunet said I could translate it into French and read it. And so then we got going on that. And so so now what we do is on Saturday night, the Saturday evening, we read Howard's poem Samaria from his front porch in, let's see, last year we had 8 different languages. And 1 year we had 9 different languages. But we've got English, French, German, Japanese, Spanish, Italian, Old English. Frank Kaufman read Old English last year.
That is really cool.
And Irish Gaelic, and then last year Alex Shanks read it in Latin.
Cool.
So we have a pretty good time doing that. That's always a highlight. And there's lots of food. We have a banquet on Saturday night featuring chicken fried steak, and Roy Thomas is going to give a speech there. And then on Saturday night, we have an honest to goodness Texas barbecue in the pavilion. So we provide people with lots of food, and there's pop and water and snacks at the pavilion. And it's the Project Pride people who run the Howard Museum. They're ever so accommodating to us. It's just a wonderful organization. They bought the house in 1989 and decided that, we may have something here through the fact that Robert E. Howard lived in this town and he's known all over the world. So let's do something with it. Mm-hmm. And they bought the house and turned it into a museum for all of us. So we're grateful to Project Pride.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like one of the things, like you can follow Pride on Facebook. Like Project Pride is kind of astounding to see. Like they take pictures and they'll post like this visitor came from this location. They've mm-hmm. been a Howard fan, and it's cool to see like a smiling face and a tour of that festivity. So if you're going to Howard Days, this is kind of a plea. Like, you need to have an extra $5 or $10 in your pocket to, like, kind of put towards Project Pride, like, to slip into the box there. Because, I mean, that is a grassroots kind of group, and they need every stinking bit of funds to keep things rolling, right? Because, like, this is not the kind of meeting, or I should say meeting, like, this is not the kind of event, the kind of conference, the kind of, like, fan convention. It's not the kind of thing where there's vendors wall to wall. Like, you're like kind of out in a field, and there's tractor trailers rolling by, and you're under a pavilion, and it's a bunch of people getting together to hang out and talk. But it is like, it's not commercial. It is very much a it's like the library and the nonprofit and the historic kind of location
and
like,
whatever people bring to trade.
Yeah.
Exactly. It is a total fan convention. You know, there's like you said, there are a few people that bring some stuff to sell, and we accommodate them as well.
Or they donate it for the auction, right? That's the other thing to mention.
A silent auction at the banquet on Friday night, and that's always a hoot because there's usually some pretty good Howard stuff there. And there's a nice gift shop in the Howard Museum where you can buy all kinds of neat things, t-shirts and books excuse me, and just all kinds of neat stuff that you can pick up there. And like I said, there's a postal cancellation souvenir that you can get, and it's just it's very accommodating for the fans of Robert E. Howard. You know, it's not, like you said, it's not like your regular convention where you're stuck in a hotel and you go around to panels and you have a con suite and all that stuff. You know, here we have a con suite and it's an entire pavilion. You know, so.
it's a wonderful event. So people, come on out to Robert E. Howard Days this year in 2020 and meet Indy. I presume Rusty's going to be there this year.
Rusty and Patrice and Rob Ream and Jeff Shanks and Mark Finn and the usual gang of knuckleheads who come down to enjoy Robert E. Howard Days. But we've got quite a contingent coming down. And like I said, Roy Thomas is going to be there. The fellas from Conan Properties International, they're going to be there. They're going to have some people from Marvel Comics there. Fred Blosser is coming in. It's going to be quite an event this year.
Nice, nice.
So if people are interested and want to come and want to sign up for the banquet, do they just go to howarddays.com and do that on that website?
Yeah, you know, you can. There's Project Pride likes to send out a little flyer so that you can register that way. But you can totally just go to you can go to their if you wanted to if you want to join like I said, you don't have to pay for anything at Howard Days to show up there. Everything is free except for the banquet. They like to register people for the banquet just so they have an idea of who all is coming. If you wanted to PayPal money, you could do it to projpride@yahoo.com, projpride@yahoo.com. Or if you wanted to mail them a check, Project Pride, P.O. Box 534, Cross Plains, Texas, 76443, and make your checks payable to Project Pride. And if you wanted to bump that up a little bit and make a donation to Project Pride, it's much appreciated. 100% of the proceeds from all of this goes directly to the Robert E. Howard Museum. You know, they don't have any CEOs or anything like that that take a cut. You know, all the money that they bring in every year goes directly to the upkeep of the Robert E. Howard Museum. So.
Awesome. So that kind of takes care of like the principal meal during the event. And if you show up the night before, is there like a catfish dinner that maybe the...
Oh, the fish fry.
Yeah, like a fish fry?
Yeah,
The senior center.
Well, let's see. We have an unofficial Howard Days is on Thursday. This will be June 11th,
right,
which is kind of ominous because June 11th is the anniversary of when Howard killed himself. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. And but on Thursday, the house is open from, on Howard Days, I'll go back to that. On Howard Days, the house is open from 9 to 4,
okay,
both Friday and Saturday. On Thursday, the house is open from 2 to 4, and we have fellowship in the pavilion. And we just hang around town and all that. But, yeah, on Thursday evening, up at the Senior Center in downtown Cross Plains, you can't miss it, believe me, they have a fish fry. That's to get money for the Senior Center. But also on Thursday evening, they have on Saturdays at Howard Days, they have a barbarian festival in the park that's just next to Howard House, pretty much. And they have a parade.
Right, right.
You know, it's a parade of maybe about a dozen, you know, guys on their motorcycles or in the back of a pickup or something. It's classic small town stuff, and it is absolutely charming. If you want a real taste of life in Texas in the 1950s, man, come to Cross Plains.
And it's worth mentioning, like, for those types of events, like, one of the things that struck me, I mean, make sure whenever you show up, too, that you've got some just, like, raw dollars in your pocket, too. I mean, you'll be able to swipe a card, but a lot of this kind of stuff, too, like, you're going to need to have cash for dropping in the bank at Project Pride, right? You're going to need the fish fry. You're going to need to be able to do those kinds of things. And also, like, cash is king as far as, like, buying things with, like, the handful of vendors that are there. So, like, the Robert E. Howard Foundation.
Sure.
So if you're going to show up, make sure you've got, like, just some raw dollar bills that
just
you can spend. Like, whatever.
A big bag of money.
Just make sure you know what you're going to spend and just be prepared to do that kind of thing. Because, I mean, nothing here is exorbitant.
Unfortunately, Project Pride, at the gift shop and at the silent auction, they don't take credit cards.
Yep, yeah.
Or debit cards or anything. So it's either bring your checkbook or bring your folded money and bring a lot of it and help support them.
Yeah, so the silent auction, like, if anybody's coming, basically if you bring anything that's Howard authored, you can donate, and so the funds there go to Project Pride, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can also send them stuff. Send them to the PO box, they're totally grateful for anything that that you can send them. I think there were over 100 items in the silent auction last year, and including a couple of really nice quilts made out of Howard T-shirts, and one was a big quilt made out of a conglomeration of Howard photos. So
nice.
There's cool stuff.
I mean, and they're pretty open. Like, a lot of different, like the first time that I didn't go, but Josh and John went, like Josh, you brought one of the Lancer paperbacks back for me. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff. Like, you can get some really cool stuff for relatively small change on the
oh, absolutely.
And there's some really deep sort of like rare stuff. Like, I remember there was like one of the Carl Edward Wagner like Centipede Press like hardbacks of the Kane stories there the year that I went, and that, of course, it went for, you know, it was an auction where so people were bidding it up, but there's all kinds of stuff. So even if you're just doing a carry-on, stick whatever four or five like spare beater paperbacks if you've got like duplicates of a Lancer or this or that like in your bag to bring back, because you're going to be bringing a book or three back with you home wherever you're going. So just plan for that and sort of like give a little bit of that on the front end too. That's an important thing to note.
It is. Yeah. Thank you.
So that's Howard Days in a nutshell. So everybody go to howarddays.com, learn all the details, and bookmark that site. Go back as Indy posts more information about the goings on this year for Howard Days. Absolutely. 2020.
I'm going to start updating it a lot more frequently now, but eventually we're going to post the panel schedule and all the basic information that you need is there. And we've got a little tutorial about coming into Cross Plains and, you know, what it's all about and how to get there and stuff like that. So we try to be as inclusive as possible, you know. We want people to come to Cross Plains.
Yeah.
We can vouch for the America Stay In, I think. Is that what it's called that we live in for a couple of days?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So before we get off the phone here, we wanted to ask you about Howard's Western stories. You said that your earliest exposure to Robert E. Howard was the Conan book that you picked up, but we're moving into some of Howard's Westerns, which is kind of a new territory for us, and just wanted to ask if there are any of those Western stories that stick out in your mind.
Well, I like you say, you know, I started out with Conan, and it kind of branched out from there. And eventually, as I started picking up more Conan, more Howard books, especially in the 1970s, when Zebra brought out, I don't know, they've got maybe 20 books that they brought out, and just it encompassed all of Howard's different writing styles, and there were a couple of Western books in there. Over the years, you know, Howard's Westerns have been published more and more, and we finally we've got all the Howard stories. The Robert E. Howard Foundation Press has, after Delray Books finished their 11 book run of the best, you know, the best stuff of Robert E. Howard, the Foundation Press published 22 books of the rest of Howard's stories. And there's several Western volumes there. For me, the best Westerns were always the Breckinridge Elkins stories. You know, the almost a parody of Western stories, because Breckinridge Elkins is a larger-than-life character, and they are absolutely laugh-out-loud funny. It's just hilarious. It's kind of like Pecos Bill meets Mongo from Blazing Saddles, and I enjoyed those very, very much. I like Breckinridge Elkins, and to be totally honest, I didn't read all that much of Westerns, which kind of surprises me when I think back, because I've always liked cowboy stuff, you know, and of course, for a long time I thought of Conan as being a cowboy. He's the lone cowboy, you know, riding around and getting into, you know, all kinds of adventures. But when you start to look at some of Howard's story, Western stories, you know, you realize that if he hadn't committed suicide, this was probably where he was going to go, because you can see as you read some of the Western stories, you can see the progression of his writing ability. I'm going through a couple of stories here, and I reread Drums at Sunset, and it was written early on in his writing career, and it's kind of lame, and it's kind of, you know, it's not so good, you know, but then you get into stories like Vultures of Wahpeton, which is a really well-crafted, mature writing Western story, and I reread today The Law Shooters of Cowtown.
Nice.
Holy smokes. you get into that and it's pure Robert E. Howard as far as I underlined something in the book in the story. I gotta read my underline here. And this pretty much tells all that you need to know about Robert E. Howard's writing and the characters that he writes about. Law Shooters of Cowtown. Grizzly Elkins is thrown in jail for killing a guy, but he did it because the guy cheated him at cards, and so it was justified. And so he's in jail, and he has to break out of jail because the town is coming to lynch him, and he beats the crap out of about 50 people with an iron bar that he pulled out of the jail wall, and finally, it comes down to he's talking about his Elkins' primitive code, which is a wrong unavenged was an unpaid debt. And that pretty much sums up an awful lot about how Robert E. Howard's writing and about the characters that he wrote about. You know, Howard wrote so many different characters. You know, and some people have said that, well, Howard's characters were all cut from the same cloth. Well, if they were, I like to think that they were stitched up differently. You know, they used a different pattern to stitch up those characters, or he used a different pattern to stitch up those characters. So Law Shooters of Cowtown is just, you know, it's just a classic. I'm going to beat everybody up, and because I've been done wrong.
Yeah, it really is. It's such a fast story. So that's how we're going to kick off our new season. Like, that's the first story for our Westerns. What do we call it?
The Road West.
That's the Road West. It's not the Western Road. It's the Road West. But it's
Road West.
It's so punchy. So yeah, I'm so pleased to hear that you read it, and that is like so much fun.
I really enjoy it. It's been about 25 years ago. There was a small comic book company called Conquest Press, and it was a guy out of Florida doing comic books, and he adapted The Law Shooters of Cowtown, and Rick McCollum, the great Cincinnati artist. He did the illustration. He actually adapted it and illustrated it. It's hard to find. It's a really rare comic, but it's called Blood and Thunder. It's from Conquest Press, and you have to Google that one, I'm afraid. But it is. It's a very rare. But he did an adaptation of it that is just magnificent. One of my favorite stories. I also like Howard's weird westerns. I hope you guys are gonna cover some of those, because in addition to Robert E. Howard being pretty much the acknowledged creator of sword and sorcery, he was one of the early guys doing weird westerns. The Horror from the Mound.
Yeah. So are we talking about that one, or
We're doing Old Garfield's Heart.
Yeah.
Oh, Garfield's Heart. Yeah. That's another good one.
Yeah.
Well, I want to touch on The Horror from the Mound anyway, because one of the classic things about the way Howard wrote is that he never, you know, he was not a conventional writer. In the Horror from the Mound, you know, the protagonist meets up with a vampire, And of course, it's common knowledge that the way you kill a vampire is to drive a stake through his heart and do all that stuff. No, in this one, Howard has his character just beat the crap out of the vampire and kill him.
You know, and that works.
Okay, well, he made it work, so, But that's one of the things that I always liked about it. The way Howard approached the story is that it was unconventional about a lot of things. And the Weird Western is definitely something that that he gets a lot of credit for. And probably not enough credit, but
I think that's
good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah. So we're excited to head down this lonesome Western road, the dusty trail, and
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, it's like I said, it's an aspect of Howard's work that I haven't really spent enough time in, and I need to do it more because, like I said, I like cowboy stuff.
Yeah,
I like it a lot, and in his more mature writing, he was developing into a really, really good Western writer. He was in. I don't know if Louis L'Amour ever read any Robert E. Howard, but I read somewhere where somebody was comparing Louis L'Amour to some of the early Robert E. Howards.
Nice, cool.
So yeah. There's that.
We'll have the opportunity to make that comparison a little bit later.
Yeah, it's good timing.
I'll be interested to see your take on that. Yeah.
Well, we'll be able to talk it through over the early part of 2020 as we're leading up to Howard Days.
Yeah, and, for sure.
Yeah. All right, Andy. is there anything else we need to talk about here? Like what else do we need to cover? I feel like we've covered Howard Days. I feel like we've covered a little bit of Westerns talk. What else do we need to talk about?
Well, I'm pretty good. As long as we can keep promoting Howard Days, that's a good thing. I'm looking forward to it as always. One of the bad things about it this year, though, is my wife Cheryl is not coming with me.
What? I thought you weren't allowed in Cross Plains without Cheryl.
I know. I got to sneak into town, man.
we'll smuggle you in.
Yeah, really. Give me some cover.
I guess we should start wrapping things up. So you can find The Cromcast on the web at thecromcast.blogspot.com. We're on Twitter at thecromcast, and you can email us. That's thecromcast@gmail.com. And you can find out more about Robert E. Howard Days by going to the website, howarddays.com, or looking for Robert E. Howard Days on Facebook.
Absolutely.
And we'll see everybody a little bit further down the road west.
Absolutely. Well, much appreciated, guys. I appreciate it very much, and looking forward to seeing you all in Cross Plains. Only 5 months from now, so woohoo!
Yeah, time will fly. I have a feeling.
Oh boy!
Thanks, man.
Good deal. Appreciate it very much, guys.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Andy.
11 years ago.